Now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Haw.
Even in my ear, I was not a cartoon guy. Like, my friends would get up and watch the Smurfs on a Saturday morning.
You get out of here, fella. I'm trying to watch the Smurfs.
No interest.
I watched Underdog.
I did like Underdog.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Gilla Gorilla Hour of Power. Jetsons.
George Jetsons.
I loved the Jetsons.
How about the Flintstones? Now, here's a question for you. He would order the brontosaurus ribs, and every time he got them, the car tips over. So if the car tipped over the first time, why would you order the ribs the second time?
Were you more of a Wilma or a Betty?
Betty.
She was kind of moody, Betty. She's always complaining.
See, this is a window inside the cabin that you didn't know.
Marianne or Ginger?
Ginger's a little too flighty for me.
You're on the island for one night, you're going Ginger.
I don't think she's a lot more fun.
I think
Marianne would have been just a fun time.
She had it all. Style, grace, ethereal beauty.
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Colton Stone scores!
Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap'n Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in. Cap'n Haw on the air. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Connor McKnight. Cap'n Haw. One is out of the country. One is leaving today at 2. One of them should take Pedro Strop with them.
Do they both have visas? Are they both allowed to leave the country? Do they run into any problems? What I'm asking is there a Rafael Soriano situation coming up whereby we think they're leaving, we're going, but they actually can't go?
Well, good thing that he's looking good in Double A. Would have been nice to have him on the mound last night.
You're going
to
go hardcore. We're not even going to be able to start this thing without you going in hard on Pedro Strop. The Cub bullpen lets up like their first handful of runs in 3 weeks, and you want guys deported. Well, that's what we're talking about now, aren't we?
I don't want to make this all about me. And by the way, if you ever listened to the night game back in the day, this was Connor and I are getting to live a dream today just to be together.
We are.
To be in front of you on Comcast.
Well, really, it's a dream that you and I are together at all and not playing tennis. That's a big thing for us.
This is true. Of course, WGN Plus as well. Jimmy Butler's press conference, 11 o'clock. We'll have it for you. Sahad of Sharma, Connor's true boyfriend, will be in studio.
What's Jimmy Butler doing this afternoon? What's his story? Is he becoming $80 million richer?
I guess he's not doing the DeAndre Jordan, and he is.
Do we know that for sure? I mean, he still has, 2 hours before he puts pen to paper, probably?
This is true. I think the press conference and being carried on Comcast is probably a good sign that he's going to stay with his his Chicago Bulls on a 5-year, $95 million deal.
Of course, we're referring to a lot of the DeAndre Jordan nonsense, where he apparently re-signed with the Clippers last night. We don't know that for sure because DeAndre is a conflicted man. Have you seen just a couple of minutes ago, Carmen? We'll get to it later in the show. Mark Cuban, who thought he had DeAndre Jordan locked up, has released I don't know if you can call it a statement if you just kind of release it on Cyberdust, whatever Cyberdust is.
Is that the new thing, Cyberdust?
I don't know. I looked at our producer, Mike Jacobson, and I was like, hey, what Cyberdust? What's that? I got the big, I have no idea. I have a big shoulder shrug, no clue. I'm guessing it's a Mark Cuban venture, you know, so we're just giving it free pub right now.
If the Jackal doesn't know about it, then it doesn't really exist in my mind. That's how I look at it.
I agree completely.
Guy's got 10 pages of notes every day. All he does is sit there in front of the Twitter machine.
That's unbelievable.
He's really an impressive guy. And a pathetic individual as well, which I can relate to.
That's kind of how Mark Cuban's feeling right now. He's angry.
Well,
he
should be.
He's a little sad. He's a little upset. And if I know Mark Cuban, he's going to be, you know, barking down the ear of Adam Silver in no time and trying to get at least some money back, whether it's from fines or whatever.
That's not going to work for Mark Cuban, considering every other owner in the NBA wants you not to be an owner in the NBA. They're probably thrilled this happened to Mark Cuban, right?
I would imagine.
But there's no integrity in this world. I actually... Just for one thought on that, the LA Clippers, he said he was going to Dallas.
Uh-huh.
He left you. You don't come crawling back.
See,
when the girlfriend says she's moving on, you say,
No.
You let her fly.
Nope.
You can't do what they did.
No, my friend, this is where we differ. You can do what they did. All's fair in love and war. And they sent a cadre out to Houston to go change his mind. And that's what they – look, Cube should have seen this coming. Should have seen the Clipper flotilla coming down the road.
Right. Never trust humanity. We will do a bunch on the DeAndre Jordan, all the Twitter, and Michael Jordan weighing in as well.
Emojis. We get to read hieroglyphics today, which I'm really looking forward to.
But let's keep it on what happened last night. And as I was saying, Connor, I don't want to make it about me, but I got...
Yes, you do.
Right. I go out... 312-235-2525, by the way, if you want to jump in. Cubs cards and
Mark Carman.
And the disaster. Well, I went out to the park yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. I hadn't been there in a while. Got to see the peeps. Shook a hand.
Everybody told me it was nice to see you out there. Everybody was really happy.
And I felt the same way. And Gordon Whitmeyer of the Sun-Times will be on tomorrow.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be good. So at any rate.
He had some interesting things about, just to preview that conversation tomorrow, interesting things about added revenue to the ballpark, given that they've got these brand new televisions and jumbotrons and whatnot out there, and what that means for Theo and Jed's bottom line.
Yeah, it's
we'll get to that tomorrow,
and we can talk about some of that today.
Of course,
it's really not what you want to hear if you're a Cub fan, and it's from my standpoint.
Yeah, no, it's different than what you thought it was going to be, at least immediately. But you know, to your point, I get that this was a disappointing thing. Not you being at Wrigley Field yesterday, that was a joy for everyone involved.
Thank you.
I get that it was a disappointing outcome, but looking through, and I love this site, baseballreference.com, the Cubs are, do you want to take a guess at the, I was talking to Mike about this before the show when you weren't answering my calls. The Cubs obviously started out with a wonderful one-run game record, right? At some point, it was like 9-2 early on in the season. It was miraculous.
Right, okay.
Do you want to take a guess at what their one-run game record is right now? Which is more difficult to say than I thought when I let off this sentence.
I do not know this answer. I would guess
take a guess. Stab.
Are they 19-18?
They're 19-15.
Okay.
That's a pretty good guess, Mark Carman.
Not bad right
Clearly,
there.
You were at Wrigley Field yesterday.
I was.
Yeah,
I
know you were. 19-15, which is good. I mean, that's what you want. Fine. 134 runs scored in those games, 130 runs against. That's a 560 winning percentage. It's good. It's not bad. So, to see last night happen the way it did, Pedro throws that fastball a little high in the zone, and Jahani Peralta, who still needs to move the H in his name, takes him yard. I mean, that happens.
No,
that happened.
I mean, it did, and I guess it does, but it shouldn't. How's that? Here, let me just give you this one, Connor. I go to the game, right?
Sure.
I leave in the second inning. It's raining. I'm by myself. I feel lonely. I want to go home.
I was throwing sausages on the grill at that point.
Right.
I was in the rain. I had the umbrella over the grill, looking like a complete idiot in the backyard.
Right. Well, then I think that's a good scene, actually. I had an umbrella in studio yesterday. I get home. I want to be fully prepared for the show. I can't go right to the game. I want to watch every inning. So I'm going through, right?
Yeah.
I get the text. Montero like 10 exclamation points.
Yep.
Okay, so now I know
spoiler
when he's up in the insane at bat that he had and the pitch is just off the plate and Yadier Molina goes crazy.
So close, that pitch.
Right. Probably was a strike. Probably is,
I like the way JD put it. It was could have been, didn't have to be, wasn't.
Right.
I like that.
And then JD's phenomenal. He does a great job.
Yes.
You too, Len. But JD's really, I feel like Bob Brenly is actually just sitting there. He sounds the same to him, me.
And if you remember, and I've actually mentioned this to Len and JD, I think, it took a minute for Len and Bob to really gel and put it together and do the broadcast they ended up doing toward the end of the run. And it took a little bit of time for JD and Len to put things together, but they have. Wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful.
They have. So I basically knew that Montero was coming through there. And then I'm sitting there watching the rest of the game, and I'm waiting for another text to come back, like 6 back, 5 back, something, whatever. I'm expecting this text, and nothing comes.
Yeah.
So when I get to the 9,
silence, heartbreak.
I just know that there is death coming. I can feel it. He walks Carpenter on 4 pitches, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm waiting, and I really just want to fast forward to the end because I can't take it. And I'm all of a sudden back invested in the Cubs, and of course. Chest high,
yeah,
over
was
the
letter
wall,
high.
And of course that text wasn't coming. And I knew that Stroop was going to blow it before he blew it because I was late to it, but it just by the non-text. So
I'll be completely honest with you. Yeah. The at-bat to Carpenter was the worst at-bat of that inning. I mean, look, the fastball to Peralta that he takes out above his, fine. The 4 straight to Carpenter?
Right.
The walk there with 2 outs? That at bat, and I don't know where that went. I mean, the slider that he got the second batter of the inning out on was absolutely brutal. Filthy, filthy stuff. None of that to Carl. I don't know where it went, but I think his head went somewhere.
Well, this is how I relate it to my own life. You're Pedro Stroop, right? There's a reason for your career that you're the setup guy, despite his pretty, I wouldn't call it overpowering, but he's got phenomenal stuff.
Good slider when it's, when it's working, that's a good slider.
And his numbers are off the charts. I mean, he's had a phenomenal year. But there's something about getting that last out that certain guys have and certain guys don't. And last night was the essence of Pedro Strop. I like to put it in the hot woman terms. He had the first out.
Because of your experience.
Right.
Because it's intense experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I can relate to how this goes. Because he started off well. He got the first out. He had a good opening line. He was doing fine. And then all of a sudden, he was able to just ride that and get out number two. And now he's actually into a real conversation.
Sure.
And she's available. All of a sudden, it's right there for you. You have it. It's sitting there. And there are certain guys who can close, and there are other guys who go four straight balls, start talking about every single problem with themselves.
They go Costanza.
And then they throw the fastball up here and say the worst thing they possibly say, throwing in unemployment or whatever it is.
I live with my mother.
And it's over. I live with my mom. That was Pedro Strop. That's what he did last night. He had it. The Cardinals were ready to lose. Yachty was kicked out of the game. Matheny was booted out of the game. They were throwing the ball around, and Pedro Strop just had to give it to him.
Looking through his numbers since June 1st, 15 and two-thirds innings pitched, a .172 ERA, a very low BABIP, which I know you're interested in, Carm. 120 batting average against, but two blown saves. Those great numbers and two blown saves. I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit coming up with Sahad of Sharma of, BP, Wrigleyville.com and Baseball Prospectus. I forget all the smart websites he writes for sometimes because there's so many of them. But we'll get into it. Still, though, the first time that Cubs bullpen has looked bad in about 2.5 weeks or so, it happens.
And we should mention that there was a team in town last night that won on a walk-off by a guy you don't expect to do it. Adam Eaton, the White Sox, will give you a little love.
He nearly killed Hawk Harrelson.
That was fantastic.
He nearly killed Hawk Harrelson, did Adam Eaton last night.
Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview with the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD. You get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into App today to see the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop App. Pleasing people since 1936. Props to you, Adam Eaton. And a little bit of something for Peter Gammons as well was at the ballpark. This is Cap and Haw, Comcast Sports at WGN Plus.
It's Cap and Haw.
Again, a 3-2. Driven out of the right center. This could clear him. Fowler's in. Rizzo scores. Soler. And the Cubs lead. Oh, baby. The kick and the pitch. Driven in the air. Deep left. Coughlin back. It is gone. A two-run homer for Johnny Peralta. On a 1-2 pitch.
An absolute kick in the gut.
It's Lennon JD with the call here on Comcast with the Cubs' highs and lows last night. Welcome back to Cap and Haw. Checking us out on WGN Plus. We love you for that, too. I'm Connor McKnight. He's Mark Carmen. We're both filling in for the out of country, Cap and Haw.
Out of country. Although,
it's good to be the king.
I think technically the what are the Caribbean islands? I believe that's
or
where
they
Haw's.
Not,
are they annexed?
Are they principalities?
They're something.
Some kind of annexed territory. United States had back in the Spanish-American War, something like that.
They're not allowed to vote or something. You know these things better than me.
But I just can't remember which is which. Going through some of the Cubs things from last night, a little bit of White Sox stuff too, and this is going to be fun. Later in the show, the DeAndre Jordan stuff is fantastic, and now Mark Cuban is getting into it with reporters on Twitter and his own proprietary Cyberdust thing. And when Cuban gets going, there's just no stopping him, and it's magic. It's just wonderful stuff. Absolutely wonderful. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the show as well. Talking about Pedro Strop and the Cubs giving it up last night. Johnny Peralta taking a belt-high fastball out to left field, left center, really, for the two-run shot to put the Cardinals ahead and unable to get Trevor Rosenthal in the ninth, who is, my God, Trevor Rosenthal. Have yourself a season. Have yourself a first half of the season. That's good looking.
Far be it from me to take credit away from Trevor Rosenthal, Connor, but the last at bat of the night.
You didn't like it, did you?
No, it wasn't Dexter Fowler's best moment. The game should not have come down to that. And really, you know, people are saying, we're getting texts here that where was Jason Mott? And in reality, the guy had pitched game one and game two the day before. But in game one, Cubs had a 5-run lead in the ninth.
Yes.
Neil Ramirez comes on, couldn't get you out, and then they had to bring Mott on.
I struggle with 97, regardless of where it's located. But there's something, and I want to get to how Madden works the bullpen or how he's working this bullpen, because I think you're right to point out Jason Mott in this situation and where it plays to the rest of everyone, you know, where it, how it affects the rest of everybody in that pen.
The guy's been phenomenal, but you have to remember that he is coming off of Tommy John. Now it's 2 Mays ago.
Right.
So last year he was okay at best.
You'd say bad.
You know, bad is probably.
You'd probably say bad.
Bad is a better word.
Yeah, I think you'd say bad.
He was out all of August with a back injury that may not have been a back injury. I guess it probably was. But regardless, he ended up falling into the Cubs' hands, basically. The guy's been phenomenal this year. But still a guy that you can't be going 2 games in 1 day and then throwing him the next day, too.
No, and I think Madden brought up an interesting point about spreading the workload around, and not just the workload in the actual pitches sense, but the emotion sense, the highs and lows of that. We'll get to that in a second. Let's head out to the phone lines right now. It is Lugo, probably Lugi on the south side. What's up, man? Welcome to the Cap and Haw Show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, it's Lugo. But anyways, you know, the thing with Pedro Strop was he was overthrowing the ball. He got to Carpenter to get the last out, and you could see he was overthrowing every pitch. And, you know, when you muscle up like that, you know, you get out of rhythm, and, you know, one part of your body is ahead of your legs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, from watching, you know, my whole life. That's what he did.
Wait,
you know?
Hold on a second, Lugo, because now I'm going to make you the official pitching coach of Cap and Haw, at least on this Thursday. Did you think that
we rotate pitching coaches.
In the first two batters that he got out, did you think he was overthrowing?
No, he was in rhythm, and he made him look bad.
So he basically, Lugo, you completely buy my analogy that he was great with the girl at the start, and then when he tried to close it out, he got nervous and he went overthrow and just got completely left himself. Fair enough.
Yeah, it's human nature. You know, you want to throw the ball harder and stuff like that. But like Greg Maddux, he said when he got in trouble, he would take something off the ball. You know.
Yep. All right, Lugo.
Appreciate the phone call, my friend.
Well, it's a great point by Lugo, our new pitching coach. When you're in trouble out there, if you're in anything, no matter what you do, you don't try to reinvent yourself. You go with your strengths, right? Like if Connor McKnight is in a struggle.
Oh, no, I'm overthrowing the ball every time. Well, I'm gripping harder and throwing harder because I will get you out.
Well,
you don't, though. It doesn't happen that way.
It doesn't work. If Pedro would just stay with being Pedro, give me that, whatever that funky Pedro pitch is. What do you call that thing?
Little slider. Okay. He's got that little slider working. We'll let him down him on that ball.
Down, sliding, cutting, whatever it is. Just stick, be you, Pedro. You are enough to carry the day, but he tried to be more than him.
Well, that happens, though.
And
I think that's why Madden talks about, or why it piqued my interest that Madden started talking about spreading around the emotional workload a little bit. Yeah, Jason Mott had probably, he was out for that ball game. You know, he had pitched both ends of a doubleheader the day before. You're done. You're not gonna throw that guy out there, even if he's 100%. If he's Mariano Rivera, you're not throwing him out there for that third ball game, more than likely, especially not at this point in the season.
Right, 162 games.
So I think, but what I liked about this, and you know me, I love the unconventional bullpen or the non-traditional bullpen. I love having a closer, but not actually having to say that he's your closer. I love Joe Madden being able to go to and wanting to go to the matchups and letting the bullpen work for him, letting him throw that workload around both pitch-wise and emotions-wise. It doesn't matter whether the emotions got to Pedro Strop last night. It doesn't matter whether the workload would have gotten to Jason Mott. You were able to spread it around a little bit. And the more you do that, if you're Joe Madden, the more you're, yes, easing the workload off these guys in the bullpen, but it's also a test a little bit, right? I mean, now Joe knows, Joe sees a little bit how guys react and what kind of situations. I'm not just talking about splits. I'm not talking about the card or the numbers. you know, you get to see how humans react in this game. And that's such a huge part of this as well, at least of Joe Maddon's job, because you got to find which human beings survive in the pressure cooker and which can't.
And I think that, I mean, he's a fine strategist, but I wouldn't call him like some genius that way. But I think what Joe Maddon does best is he gets his guys ready to play every day.
Oh, absolutely.
I was in there yesterday, 4:30, Rizzo shows up, and we'll talk some home run derby after the next time out. Rizzo shows up at 4:30, and they start asking him about Maddon and how the team has done, and he's like, look, you know, it's 4:30 and not everybody is in here yet. That's how Joe wants it. He wants to keep it loose, and we know that when 7 o'clock comes around, we're gonna be ready to go. But it's he's brought in this bigger picture, Joe Maddon, yeah. and it's resonated. Kavanaugh, by the way, brought to you by Horowitz and Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history, the largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history as well, and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That's the triple crown of lawyering. Horowitz and Associates, these guys win. 312-235-2525. Everybody wants to play manager, so let's let Zach try that out here on Kavanaugh Comcast Sportsnet. Connor, you can be the manager too, by the way. I want to know
I'd rather be our next pitching coach, but that's fine. I'm ready for whatever role you put me in, just like the bullpen.
Connor had a huge win, everybody should know, on a Sunday softball. Our regular guy was gone. He came in against a good team.
I showed up.
It was phenomenal. I was so proud of you.
Thank you. It means a lot to me. It was everything to me.
I
really.
Mean, there was at least three people in the stands, but it was a pressure cooker for real. Zach in Chicago, you're on Cap and Hawk. Go ahead, Zach.
I just wanted to say that I think Hector Rondon should have been in there, and I think he's been real good as of late, and he should have been there. Pedro Strop is just, he's not ready for that.
All right, Zach. What do you think, Connor? Should they have gone Strope in the eighth, Rondon in the ninth?
I like the idea of checking to see. You know, I like the idea of checking to see if that's your guy. Look, Joe Maddon's not throwing people out there in situations they can't succeed in. You know, I mean, he's got the card in front of him. He's got the numbers in front of him, too. So I'll trust Joe in reading the numbers that Strope's got a pretty decent advantage in that spot. But, you know, I'm looking through the replay on the MLB TV app, which, by the way,
I know you love it.
Oh. It's
fantastic.
It's as good as magic. I think our guy Lugo was right. I think Pedro Strop started gripping the ball a little bit when he faced Matt Carpenter, which is, it's tough. You got two outs there. But he looked good in those first two batters. You know, so I mean, he's out there. You got to deal with, you know, where that head's screwed on, or how tightly it's screwed on, or how loosely, as it were. Because Joe Maddon likes it loose.
I think you needed a little more looseness. The 9 a.m. hour, sponsored by Apt Electronics. When we come back, we'll continue Cubs cards, but also, Rizzo and Bryant in the home run derby. The matchups are out, and is this good or bad? Are you concerned that the Cubs' mojo will go straight in the toilet after these guys try to hit the ball 500 feet? Cap and Hawk, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN+.
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
It's going to be exciting. Chris and I will really enjoy it. I think everyone that will participate will enjoy it, but something watching growing up as a kid and participating in a few along the day, it's going to be awesome.
We're just going in to have fun. I think he has a pretty good chance. I mean, Cincinnati is a good left-handed hitter. I mean, it's just a good hitter's park, but... you know, I get to watch him every day in BP, and it's pretty special. So, I mean, hopefully I win it, but if he wins, you know, that's great, too.
Isn't that adorable?
It really is.
I mean, they love each other. Those two are legit full man crush.
Why wouldn't you be? I mean, Rizzo's been waiting for that guy since he got drafted, right? I mean, Rizzo's been waiting for that guy to show up.
No doubt.
Be here. Help.
By the way, if you're wondering who was who in that soundbite, Anthony Rizzo went first, and then his younger brother, Chris Bryant, went second. They were on, I'm not sure who they were talking to. I'm assuming ESPN. The two of them, though, were in the dugout in the corner. They were on the headset on. I'm looking at them because I was out at there early yesterday, and I'm like, you two are incredibly cool people, and you have a wonderful life. And look at you, just bros hanging out, leading the Cubs, middle of the order for the next however many years, a lot.
You like that, don't you?
I think you...
You worried about this home run derby thing at all?
Yes. So I worry about everything, though. So.
Do you even know how the new home run derby format is going to work?
And that's why I'm so happy you're here, because I think you're the only person that understands it. I know there's going
to
be...
No, I don't. I have no idea.
Well, then that's just...
I have no idea. It feels like Bud Selig did this on his last... This was like his last thing out the door. It's ridiculous. I'll read this to you. I'll tell you how the format goes.
Yeah, well, I know... Okay, but... Please, first of all, I can give you the matchups, and you do everything else.
Yeah, no, okay, fine. Give me the bracket.
Bryant, the young Bryant, I believe due to his home run numbers, is the 8th seed. Okay, so he's going up again. There's 8 guys in it, so he's the lowest seed. He'll take on number 1 seed Albert Pujols.
I like Albert in that matchup. Been there before, done it.
I won't bet against Chris Bryant. I refuse to do it. I will stay with the local. And then it's number 3 seed Josh Donaldson, who's hit 100 homers against the White Sox alone, versus Anthony Rizzo, 3-6. Now, you explain to me what goes on with the whole time frame. What do you know? Do you know anything?
I'll read this from the Espen stats and information page, because why not? Somebody got told how this works. It's a single elimination tournament. It's a bracket-style thing, and you get 5 minutes to bat per round. So you're on a clock now.
So that's it. 5 minutes, hit as many as you can.
Oh, no. That's not it. There's more. You get 30 seconds of bonus time for one home run that's over 475 feet.
How will you even know if you hit it 475?
You get 1 minute of bonus time awarded for two home runs that each equal or exceed 420 feet. It's a Great American Ballpark, of course, which is a hitter's ballpark. The average home run at Great American this year has traveled 393 feet. Of course, that's live pitching. They don't do that in the BP. So, yeah, you're going to watch this stat tracker thing, which I know you love. Yeah, you're going to watch the home run effects, the stat tracker, all this kind of stuff. And I guess they're just going to add time back onto the board. So that leads me to believe that there's going to be some kind of clock, because the hitter needs to know how much time he's got left.
Right.
So does the pitcher. Right? I mean, Chris Bryant's dad needs to know how much time he's got left to pipe a fastball down to his kid.
How cool is that, by the way?
That's very cool.
You're out there with your father.
It's super cool. It's the coolest thing you could imagine.
I mean, your dad, Mac, got to play softball with us once.
Oh, Papa Steve would love it.
Oh, Papa Steve, right. And your nickname is Mac, though. I do have that
right.
Oh,
yeah, no, Mac, Papa, yeah, the whole thing.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. I'm just making sure I'm not losing my mind here.
Fungible nicknames.
That was cool, but home run derby... That's probably a step or two up.
Way cooler. Absolutely cooler.
Pops, come on out and throw me some pitches.
I just find it's interesting that, you know, baseball is going to, this event, this baseball event, that yes, it's an exhibition, you're going to put a clock on it. Because nothing screams, I need a clock, more than a baseball game, right? I mean, everybody wants the running clock now.
But the derby does need it. I think it's a good addition.
So. Well, the idea behind this is that you limit, there are no longer this idea of limitless swings that you can take anymore. Right, you know, there's no longer this Bobby Abreu thing in, where was that? It wasn't Philly. Was that Pittsburgh? Was that where the All-Star game was, where Bobby Abreu took like 700 swings? Or the Josh Hamilton thing in Yankee Stadium?
All I know is every time I watch the Derby, I fall asleep because it takes so long.
It does.
Take pitch, take pitch, take pitch. No, you got 5 minutes. Swing the bat. Let's go.
That and the man who typically screams at you through your television during the home run derby is, in my opinion, insufferable. I don't need to hear that over and over again.
I'm not a Berman hater. I know that puts me in a very small corner.
It does.
Everybody
hates
Berman.
Thin middle slice of the Venn diagram there.
I occasionally hate him, but the fact that he's doing the Derby doesn't kill me. You know that Joe Maddon doesn't want these guys in the Derby.
I don't think any manager wants their guy in the Derby. Unless he's Ken Griffey Jr., you know, as a player, I don't think you really want the guy in the Derby.
I mean, this is your 2 and 3 hitter. These are your basically your only offensive players.
Young. Real, real young.
Like, if they're not hitting, they barely score as it is. If these guys don't hit, they might go negative. And they're both in the Derby. It's really not ideal.
I don't know... I'd love to see the definitive report. And there really, at least to my knowledge, hasn't been a definitive report as to whether or not this really alters swings. Some people say it has, some people won't. I mean, talk to Prince Fielder about it. He'll tell you that 1 year it did and 1 year not so much. You know, I mean, it's just kind of, it's this weird ethereal thing. And I think if it gets in your head, that's what you start to worry about more. You know what I mean? If you have that bad first week coming back from the All-Star break and you all of a sudden start thinking, boy, that...
The Derby,
home run Derby, really, really sapped a little power. Then you start thinking that, and then you go through this spiral, and probably, yeah, it's tough.
And Rizzo's comments have been, listen, there's a certain part in batting practice every day where you try to hit it out.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to hit it out for 5 minutes straight.
Those last three that you get in your rotation, you're trying to take every single one of them as deep as you possibly can.
Right, but Rizzo's this huge guy.
Massive.
And
did you see, okay, so watching him when he's sitting there in the dugout with Bryant, whether he was on MLB or whatever he was, who they were talking to on camera, that whatever T-shirt he's wearing is far too, they can't afford a bigger T-shirt for him.
I think he likes
it
that
way. He's about
to
split the thing in half.
He wants to crowd the plate. He wants to crowd the T-shirt.
The kid's huge. The kid has really put on the major league muscle, really.
He's an impressive.
And I love the crowding the plate. I love the strategy. I love adapting to that.
The thing I love the most about him is his leadership. That guy is so positive. And his at-bat yesterday.
Saw it last night.
In the fourth inning.
You saw it last night.
You're down 4-0. You're losing that game.
Without a hit.
Yeah. And he has, a 12-pitch, 13-pitch, whatever it was at bat.
I can look back.
Against Michael Wacha, one of the best in the game, who you didn't think the Cubs were going to come back on. He battles, gets himself on base. Bryant hits a triple, and then Starlin comes through. And it wasn't a great night for Starlin, but he did come through in that moment. And they're back in the game, and then all of a sudden it's 4-2, and Montero comes up and hits a three-run triple after Starlin struck out on a pitch right down the middle.
You know, and that's what's difficult is, and yeah, I knew you were going to slip that Starlin thing in there, and it wasn't a great night for the kid. But I think, when you're going into that game, and all of a sudden you lose Jason Hamill, who, by the way, we should let you know.
That's a bad loss.
Going for an MRI there, Jason Hamill is with the hamstring. So theoretically speaking, it's not the worst of news. It's not good, but you've got probably, with the All-Star break and the way you can reconfigure your starting rotation once that break goes, you can kind of give him about 12 days.
Maybe longer. It's perfect timing for it. But
if you're going to get hurt, do it now.
I went back, and as you know, Connor, I'm a trainer on the side. I watched the first inning, and Hamill, he was having problems the whole inning.
Yeah, he was grabbing at it the entire time.
Yeah, so.
A little yoga for Jason Hamill? Probably a little yoga.
You know who's doing yoga nowadays is Mark Burley. Guy's going.
I did not know that.
Burley has taken on the yoga along with Portillo's, but he's doing all that. 312-235-2525. Let's get Daryl in Fort Wayne who wants to talk about Pedro Strop on Cap and Haw. Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, I was watching the game last night. I switched over to MLB Network, and Pedro Martinez was on there. Mm. And they just happened to be talking about Pedro Strop. And the guy running the show, I forget his name, said, could he be the closer? And Pedro goes, he's great against lefties. Against righties, he opens up too soon. And then Pedro threw the pitch that was homered on. And as he threw the pitch, Pedro Martinez goes, see, he opened up too early.
Interesting.
Daryl, that's a great call, man.
I'm no pitching coach. I coach baseball, but I did the hitting part. I could not coach pitching. And I'm a Yankee fan also. So I didn't like Pedro, but I'll tell you what, he is very intelligent. He was talking about some stuff on pitching last night that's amazing.
Oh, I love. Daryl, you're 100% right. Pedro Martinez has been fantastic on the MLB Network.
Daryl, we appreciate you, my brother. And yes, you're not the pitching coach. We already had our pitching coach. Lugo is our pitching coach.
We're willing to make the change to Pedro Martinez if he calls the show. We will make him our pitching coach of the day. For what it's worth, and I'm not discounting anything that Pedro Martinez says because, gems all over the place. Pedro Strop's batting average against with right-handers so far this year, 133. Left-handers, 170. Lefties have slugged him to a 362 and righties a 241. So, interesting. Not quite exactly what Pedro's saying, but it doesn't mean he's wrong.
Pedro and Pedro. Pedro knows Pedro. That's really what we're getting at. We got to give some love to the White Sox coming back and at. The Sox have won 6 of 8. And Connor, do you have something that you need to tell the people?
I have a couple of things. You can catch the Blue Jays at the Sox this afternoon at 12:30. A couple of things I could let you know there. Sports Talk Live at 5:30 as well. And Sportsnet Central at 6:30. Of course, the Crosstown Cup coverage starts tomorrow with the pregame. That's live at 2 o'clock.
I'm excited.
I know you are. And this is a big one. I'm told the Seattle Sounders are good. The Chicago Fire get the Sounders Saturday at 7. on CSN. The Spanish broadcast is available on CSN Plus, and they do one hell of a job there, too.
White Sox not dead yet. Jimmy Butler press conference, 11 o'clock right here, Comcast Sportsnet, WGNplus.com. We're back in a moment. Cap'n Haw, I'm Mark Harmon. He's Connor McKnight.
It's Cap'n Haw.
Behind deep. High and deep, way back. He looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Sox win it 7-6. You gotta be bleeping me.
Oh, we bleep you not, Hawk. We would never bleep you. Never bleeping, never bleeping, bleeping you. Never.
I love that man.
I know you do. I know you. I love that man. Adam Eaton nearly killed that man last night with his walk-off home run against the Blue Jays, but he's still alive. Welcome back to Cap'n Haw. It's brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. We love them very much. Love you, too. 312-235-2525 is the phone number for the show, if I've not gotten that wrong. Wonderful.
You got it right. By the way, did you see what the Jekyll just did there? He threw in a little 2005.
Oh, yeah. Don't stop believing. They're not dead yet.
I don't think they're dead yet.
I think they might ostensibly be dead.
Whenever you say they're not dead yet, White Sox fans get very irritated. And I know they're still 6.5 back despite the win last night.
Just right.
Every game for them right now is a playoff game, really.
Yeah, more or less. And a lot of people, you know, nationally, too, you're looking around at guys who cover this game thinking that these next four, you know, today, this final game against the Blue Jays, you get three more against the Cubs to figure out kind of where. And then you have 4 days. If you're Rick Hahn, if you're Kenny Williams, if you're Jerry Reinsdorf, if you're Jeff Samardzija, to think about what goes on next. How do you move forward, and what's the best thing to do for this team? Because there aren't many sellers. You know, there's a handful. It's a seller's market. You know, I mean, people are in this thing, and there are teams that are decided sellers. You know what I mean? You've got the Phillies, who are just. Do you see what Vince Scully said about the Phillies the other day?
What he say?
The Phillies are out west playing the Dodgers, and he's talking about this team, and just, you know, because Vin just does the home games, and he watches everything, sure, but he watches a lot of Dodger stuff to make sure it's there. He said, boy, you wonder how a team can be in last place, and then you see them play. It's just like, you know, I get it. Vin's like, I got it. I see how this team is that god-blessedly awful.
Well, they got that big piece over there in Philly, Cole Hamels, who the Chicago Cubs would love to have been coveting for.
Cole Hamels, you got Jonathan Papelbon as well.
And, who's begging.
And this is where, you know, I think things get interesting for the White Sox, because these sellers, at least the Phillies in particular, who have, you know, some big names out there willing to move, Ruben Amaro is going to hold up whatever franchise he ends up dancing with for the entirety of their farm system, for either Cole Hamels or Jonathan Papelbon. He's going to try and get anything he can for Chase Utley. I mean, these pieces are going
to
move.
He's trying to save his job is what he's doing. And he's
right.
Got, he's
it's
got
not going to happen.
And, which is not going to happen.
No, it won't happen. Because whatever he makes these trades for, I mean, he's going to sit there with prospects in the minors and not see the returns for him in the major leagues. And then ownership gets upset. The Phillies gets upset.
Well, that's why a guy like Kyle Schwarber would make sense for the Phillies, because you could just stick him right in and say, look, I got this guy and he's hitting 325 and please keep me Andy McPhail.
That's possible.
Like, I mean, I don't know if the Cubs would be willing to do a Kyle Schwarber and a Cole Hamels deal. I think they would.
I wonder about that. And Hamels would be the interesting guy there, because you're attached to him for the next, I think it's three seasons and an option, four seasons, something like that.
Right.
That's where the White Sox get interesting here, is because you've got a piece in Jeff Samardzija whose return is known. You know, I mean, you know what the Cubs got for him this last season when they traded him. And now you kind of see that return having gone down just a little bit with, what was it, Josh Fegley and Marcus Semien both going back in that deal to the A's.
That was a stunning, stunning, great moment in Rick Hahn history, which didn't work out for a moment, but now Samardzija's pitching great.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, he's gone 7-plus in 8 or 9 of his last 10 starts. He's looking more decent. And even a handful of weeks ago, you could look at his season and say, well, that's 2 or 3 really, really bad starts that have affected, you know, the overall numbers, and the peripherals are, you know, not exactly where they were last year, but pretty decent, you know, a decent place. You wonder if that's, you know, because it's that guy, it's Jeff Samardzija, it's what, Alexi Ramirez, who baseball teams don't really want. You got to drum up a market for Alexi Ramirez for me.
C-level prospect.
Got anything there?
There was
Adam LaRoche.
There was a lot of Jeff Samardzija talk at Wrigley yesterday.
I bet there was.
The NL East is, or the AL East rather, is supposedly very hot for Jeff Samardzija.
Covetous of Jeff Samardzija?
Toronto.
Interesting.
Baltimore.
Yeah, I have heard Toronto many times.
So if you're the White Sox, you're having conversations.
I think you have to.
I mean, that's your job, A. But I don't, you know, you're not sitting there right now before, you know, the trade deadline 3 weeks before, feeling like I got to make this move today because the market's going to get worse. I think you can, if a reasonable deal comes, you make it. But otherwise, I mean, if I'm the White Sox, I'm tempted to play this thing out because they've been so far below their historical performances offensively. And the, you know, I know there's a ton of teams in front of them, but there's nothing really intimidating in front of you. You get hot, just a little bit hot, and get to 500.
Who's not intimidating in front of you, though? I mean, that's right. Are you looking at the wild card, or are you looking at the AL Central?
I'm looking at the wild card.
Are you looking at the wild card?
Yeah, I'm not looking at the Royals.
At which, yeah, you don't do that. From which the White Sox are 6.5 games out. The Angels and Twins hold wild card spots now. None of those scare you?
The
Angels should.
The Angels should. All I'm looking at is the Minnesota Twins right now.
You just want that one spot, don't you?
That's it.
And it's all you need. All you need is that one spot, but you got to jump the Tigers, who are 43-41, and that's an interesting thing there with Miguel Cabrera out.
You have a ton of Drek at 500 in front of you, and then you've got the Twins at 7 over. That's how I look at it.
You're willing to call, collectively, the Orioles, Blue Jays, and Rays Drek.
Aren't you?
I think I am.
Average Drek.
No. Okay, I can't do that for the Orioles, and I fear a Blue Jays offense existing at some point. But yeah, the Red Sox, the Indians, and the Rangers, all sub-500 teams who sit above you in that wild card race, I'm willing to pass over them immediately.
I mean, it's not a good thing when there's only two teams in the American League that are worse than you. I get where they're at, and the percentage chance of them getting in is less than 10, and it's not good. But I'm just saying that if you don't get a deal that blows your socks off, you have no real motivation to trade right now. Just you have the whole month. You can take the best deal on July 31st. You don't have to do that now.
And you're going to get the compensatory pick for Jeff Samardzija if you don't deal him.
And you might want to keep Jeff Samardzija depending on the money. Not that you couldn't bring him back regardless, but you're probably more likely to keep him if you let him play it out.
I suppose you're right. I think he's going to test that market, though. And it's a market where you're going to see a lot of pitchers get money. I mean, David Price, Johnny Cueto, Jordan Zimmermann. I mean, they're all coming up.
If I'm a betting man, I'm betting that Samardzija is bye-bye. He'll be elsewhere.
That he'll be dealt.
Yes, absolutely.
I think so, too.
I mean, that's the odds on. Listen, they've won 6 of 8. They're playing with a lot. I see a lot of passion over there. Last night, I couldn't even find the game. I'm flipping through Channel 50 WPWR. I should have known that, but I didn't.
You don't have that in HD?
I think I do.
It's 612 on the dial, I think, where I live. I'm not quite sure.
I was all over the map. Where are the White Sox?
You know what you got to get yourself? MLB.TV. Get the app.
Well,
because you just press the button and it shows you what channel it's on. Sure, you can't watch it on the iPad because of MLB's ridiculous blackout rules. Thanks, bud. You can find it that way.
I do have MLB TV. I just don't have my own login. Thank you. I'm stealing.
Really? Yeah. Which one? From whom are you stealing MLB.TV? Cap or Haw?
No.
Whose login do you have?
It's nobody in the business.
I highly doubt that. I think you're lying. I think you're straight up lying. I think when the both of them are out of country watching Major League Baseball games on their iPads or whatever devices they watch them on, you're gonna be blocked out.
I just outed myself, and I now think that when I get home today that MLB TV is going to be at my door,
change the
confiscating
password.
My computer. Yeah. Trust me, it's not. It's no one in the business. I would never do that.
I don't believe you at all. I think you probably still have my password, just haven't told me.
I would steal your password.
It's Cap or Haw.
Yeah. 312-235-2525. Jeff Samardzija talk. Lee, Davenport, Iowa. Great, great, great state.
Fine town.
Yes. 1996 graduate, University of Iowa. Thank you very much. Lee, you're on Cap and Haw, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus. Go ahead, Lee.
I heard you were talking about Jeff Samardzija and about buzzing around Wrigley Field last night. Mm-hmm. I certainly hope the Cubs are not thinking about getting him back, are they?
No.
Not that I've heard. A lot of people will tell you that it'd be a good idea, but I haven't heard it.
Well, I'll tell you that it won't be a good idea.
White Sox are not trading Jeff Samardzija back to the Cubs. That's not something they would do. So don't worry.
I'm certainly glad to. I'm glad to hear that. Why? We need to add him a football and send him to Alice Hall.
Well, why do you
need
so
to do with him?
All right, Lee. I don't know why you're so down on Jeff Samardzija. He's not like death
himself.
He's
never won over 9 games in his life.
Wins are an overrated stat. Ask Connor McKnight. He'll
Thank
tell
you.
You.
Oh my God! Thank you. Just made my morning. That's it, Mark Carmen.
Lee, Jeff Samardzija. Let me give you. Has worked at least 7 innings in 9 of his last 10 starts and 6 straight.
It's good stuff.
That's not something that you would, you know.
You not, do not thumb your nose at those numbers.
He would. You, yeah, who would you rather have, Lee? Jeff Samardzija or some combination of Clayton Richard, Travis Wood,
and Death,
and Dallas Buehler,
and
Death.
Death.
Yeah, I mean, right? Come on, Lee.
Yeah, I would definitely take those over Jeff Samardzija.
There we go.
Like I said, you got to give him a football and send him to Hallis Hall.
Appreciate you.
All right. I think we're a little past the Jeff Samardzija should play football years. Hold on 1 second. Let me find out how old he is. Oh, he's my age. He's 30. Well, he's a little bit older than I am because I'm not quite 30 yet. Wait till Sunday.
Connor's going to be 30 this weekend.
Sunday.
His life is over. John Lester was running fly patterns yesterday with the football. Have you seen him do that? I've never seen. Sahadev's going to be in next. I guess I'm sure he's
I've actually seen a lot of pitchers run, you know, do routes with football, like conditioning stuff in the outfield. You see them do the, what do you call it? It's the frisbee that's hollow in the middle, the one that just stays up in the air forever. It's just like a ring. It works like a frisbee. You just chuck it. You can go foul pole to foul pole with this thing.
Because running is so bad, but if you put a ball into it, you can, like, run for days.
Well, I didn't realize, you know, running does so much for pitchers' recovery. It just drains some of the crap, the lactic acid, all that kind of stuff out of it, which apparently it's not that makes you sore anymore. I guess there's a new study out on that.
We just said lactic acid at the same time. That's,
right.
That's probably
And we've degraded the pitcher win. This is a big show for us.
Yeah, this lactic acid at the same thing time makes me really actually concerned. All right, Sahadev's in studio next. Connor's true boy.
Sahadev Sharma of BPWrigleyville.com.
I could see him right over there.
And BaseballProspectus.com.
Yes.
And at Sahadev Sharma on Twitter.
Nobody knows more baseball than Sahadev Sharma.
Wow.
No one. And that includes you and Rick Hines.
Oh, I know it.
All right, so that's next.
Maybe not Rick.
It's Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet WGN+.